So the mind is filled with a lot of thoughts, ideas, subjective, objective appearances, arousal, you know. So there we are, doing our best, and it's working. And so we are able to watch as appearances arise, abide, and dissolve without grasping to them. And then, so is that the end of the practice? So it's really, this is the first, the first two of these four types of mindfulness that reveal the essential nature of the path. And so something happens, interestingly, as you are just sitting, watching appearances lucidly. You're watching the dream, appearances are arising, abiding, and dissolving. And then this is the way that Lama Tsongkhapa puts it in his medium exposition, not the Lama Rinchenpo, but the medium exposition. This is, from Lama Allen's PhD dissertation. So this entire text hasn't been translated yet fully or entirely. So Lama Tsongkhapa says, then this is the way that ideation vanishes. By placing the attention in the absence of mindfulness and mental engagement as before, like bubbles emerging from water, any ideation that arises cannot be prolonged in great diffusion, but naturally subsides. So you're placing your mind in this lucid state, and then the ideation can't persist. So you just notice what happens when you are watching these appearances lucidly. The dream is arising, and these appearances just come and go. And there is something that, in order to create the old familiar narrative, so how is that different than rumination? Is the question. Can you notice a difference between lucid dreaming and, you know, in the waking state, and rumination? So just something to check out. Because if you're just sitting there ruminating, you know, I think that's what Padmasambhava is going to get pissed off about. Right? That's what he sent Dujam Lingpa here to straighten out. Because there were people that were teaching that. And so Dujam Lingpa came here to set us all straight about what is the nature of the great perfection. So it's lucidity, but then something happens. The ideation can't persist. There's something that just, it dissolves. So again, the essential instructions of the Mahasiddha Maitreepa states, there are these three types of shamatha. There's the first one focused on signs, the second one focused on non-conceptuality, or on conceptuality. And then the third one, the ultimate shamatha, of maintaining the attention upon non-conceptualization. So this is really the awareness without an object, shamatha without a sign. This is what we did this morning as basically taking the fruit as the path, but this is where we end up in our shamatha practice. The fourth, the absence of mindfulness and then self-illuminating mindfulness. So there are no appearances, the ideation. Something happens. It's not that we're going to spend the rest of our lives with this particular practice of even single-pointedness. That's not the end of the game. So appearances, at least for a time, as a stage, disappear. And then, so the essential instructions of the Mahasiddha Maitreepa states, let the mind, in regard to this third type of shamatha, the ultimate shamatha that of maintaining the attention upon non-conceptualization. Let the mind, like a cloudless sky, be clear, empty, and evenly devoid of grasping, and settle it in utter vacuity. By so doing, you will experience the quiescence of joy, clarity, and non-conceptuality. So this is how you, the experience of substrate consciousness. So these words in Dzogchen of sky and space come up a lot. And tomorrow, and maybe one of these evenings, I guess it'll be tonight or tomorrow, I might just read an excerpt from A Clear Mirror that just really goes into space. It's really interesting. You know, a Dakini, basically, or might have been a Mahasiddha. I get confused. Might was, you know, giving him the, you know, this is what space is. You know, this is how the mind and awareness are space. But these words in Dzogchen, sky and space, come up a lot. And tomorrow also we'll be consulting some more texts of Dujam Lingpa that describe this. So what is this, when I talk about the space of the mind, what is that? You know, what comes up? What is the referent of the space of the mind? So where is it? Is it actually a location in space? You know, is it physical space? You know, what is this space of the mind? Is it physical? So we can say that, you know, categorically off the from the start, that it is not physical. So does it have coordinates in space? If it did, it would be a physical thing. So is the bedroom that you woke up in this morning, right now, where does that exist? In the space of your mind, when you think of it. How about the dark side of the moon? You know, the nearest black hole. It's not that far away. You know, there's one at the center of our universe, apparently, I think. So where does that exist? Is that, you know, something that takes many, many light years to go to? Or does that all exist within the space of your mind as well? So the question is then, is there an experience of our own awareness that is so encompassing? So His Holiness and Jeffrey Hopkins we're calling in something that I'll be citing tomorrow, call this not the great perfection, but the great completeness. And Alan sometimes calls this the great encompassment. Because this path of Dzogchen, the great perfection is the great encompassment. This is really, you know, the big picture, the whole panoramic shebang. And so is there an awareness that encompasses this space of the mind as well? That's what we are, you know. And what would that be? How would you have an experience of that? And is it a thing or, you know, what is it, this space of the mind? So first of all, is it a sheer vacuity? So is space emptiness in the sense that it is nothing, a sheer absence, a vacuity, nothing. So maybe it is like space, but in the way that space exists for physicists rather than the way that it exists for us in our cartoon caricature of it being a vacuum. So here's the thought experiment that Alan proposes for us. Imagine that you are in deep space and the sun is behind you, so space of our solar system, or maybe, you know, really deep space, and there's a sun behind you. And you're looking out into deep space. So what do you see? Nothing, right? It's black. There's nothing there, even though the sun is behind you, blasting out trillions of photons per nanosecond. And what do you see when you're looking at it? You know, there is nothing out there to reflect the energy that is being broadcast by the sun. So it appears to you that it is nothing, that it is an emptiness, a vacuity. But it actually is filled with energy, brimming with energy. And all you have to do is hold a mirror up to it, and then you are blinded by it. Suddenly there is an object to reflect the luminosity of the sun. So this is a metaphor, Lama Allen says, for our awareness. And it is pretty close to actual fact of current understandings in quantum cosmology about what is the nature of space. You know, in that it is not an empty nothingness, but it is brimming with energy. And in fact, this so fascinated Allen that when he was at Amherst College, that he hired a private tutor, and he had a physicist, his physicist mentor, I think, came from Harvard. And they just worked together on his senior thesis, which was turned into a book called Choosing Reality, the second book of Allen's that I encountered long ago, which is his doing all of the mathematics, pages and pages of mathematics, to prove the Casimir effect in quantum cosmology, which is the zero-point energy of the vacuum of space. So the interesting thing about you eliminate all matter from space, hypothetically, you know, you're doing this as a thought experiment, and you do the mathematics, you know, what is left? As it turns out, infinite energy. There is energy in this space that is brimming, and the value of that energy, in order for anything in the world to exist as matter, must be infinite. So all I can do is report the conclusion of that, and I actually checked this out in Scientific American online just to see whether, you know, other people thought this too. And this is exactly what, you know, Scientific American, basically my synopsis is a little synopsis from Scientific American. You know, and if you want the big picture, you know, you can read Allen's book, Choosing Reality. But so this space is just brimming with energy. And this is what exactly what Dzogchen also says and what Dujom Lingpa says. And we'll go into that tomorrow, and he calls it the ground. So the ground from which all appearances arise. And curiously, so I'm trying to keep this at 12 minutes. The ground from which all appearances arise, in Dzogchen, it's said that this is the ground from which time and space arise also. So the mind is primary, and that even time and space are not fundamental. Meaning that it's not that mind exists within time and space, but there is a mind that does that, you know, and that would be the relative mind. But the ultimate mind is actually the source of time and space. And now you are seeing that also in quantum, I guess, cosmology. And Allen has these sources and cites these, that now they're, and he was at a conference recently, last year, in which there was, I think, a Princeton physicist that was saying, we can no longer think of space-time also as fundamental, but that these are somehow dependent on something more primary than that. And there just seems to be a movement within a number of leading thinkers within quantum world these days that is just saying, you know, it's mind, you know, consciousness is the primary thing, that that matter doesn't exist without, first of all, presupposing the existence of mind. So, can we have an experience of that, the space of the mind, which is not, even though there aren't appearances in it, as in this thought experiment of deep space, can we actually have an experience of it, and can we, and what is it? Can we have a sense of this brimming, this fizzing potentiality of it? And which you call the ground. And so it may seem at first, when we begin to encounter this and we begin to rest our awareness with no appearances whatsoever, and that we are just resting in the space of the mind, you know, so we talk about maintain the spaciousness of your mind, maintain this unbounded space of awareness, and then watch appearances arise within it. You know, can we just have an experience of that? What is that space of the mind in which all of these appearances are arising within? And so when we first begin to encounter that, it may seem really unfamiliar and strange, and that you don't know what, you know, what is this? Or what am I supposed to experience? And then it may become that as you become more and more familiar with just hanging out in space without, with no appearances, that this space becomes more real for you than the appearances that arise within it. Because the space doesn't change. The space and all these appearances come and go. These are just temporary, according to quantum cosmology, or quantum field theory, I think it is, that these matter is actually temporary crystallizations of space. So these temporary crystallizations, are those real? You know, what concrete reality is there in these temporary crystallizations of space? But the space remains there after the crystallizations come and go. So it can seem to you then that after you begin to experience, you know, spend more time with that, that the space becomes what is really real to you, or the most real thing to you. In the same way, and Dakinis were explaining this to Dujam Lingpa, that we'll cite tomorrow, in the same way that the sky remains the same, unchanged, even though the sun comes up and clouds appear, nighttime comes, but the sky remains the same, unchanged, even with all of these changing appearances in it. So this, you know, decades and centuries ago, the Tibetans were saying the same thing, that there is this ground, this space that remains unchanged with all of these changing phenomena that come and go throughout them. So the term that first really confused me as a Galukpa, but I was really intrigued with that in my very first retreat with Alan in Thailand, and because we were doing this text called Natural Liberation of Padmasambhava and Dujam Lingpa. And in the early going on that text, there was this term that I had to ask Alan about in my first meeting with him. And so I said, what is this resplendent emptiness? And he said, yeah, I know, Galukpa, right? And so this resplendent emptiness would be an oxymoron in Galukpa world. You know, emptiness is a sheer absence, you know, and it has no positive qualities. So resplendence is a positive quality, and so you must be one of those Shentong people, if you're positing that. So, but anyway, we're not going to go into that. But this term, resplendent emptiness, is something that can give you an experiential sense of what you might discover in this space of the mind. It is luminous, so it's not empty. There is a luminosity in this space because it is not just space, it is the space of the mind. And so there is a luminosity and there is an emptiness. So resplendent emptiness is a really wonderful way of describing that experience. So we can do that or get some sense of that in meditation, perhaps, in finding this balance between the spaciousness of space of the mind and the resplendence of the luminosity, the knowing quality of the mind. So that it's exactly as if the sun is behind you with blasting with all of this luminosity, and you look out into unbounded space and no appearances, an absence of appearances. But what there is just filled with this luminous energy. So let's give that a try. And this will be a short meditation, I think. So it's intended to be a 12-minute meditation. So we'll see. Maybe I won't set a timer. Let your body be as still as a mountain, and your mind as still as space. That's the kind of relaxation that we're going to be working with. So if there's any tension, that is going to be an obscuration of that deep relaxation for resting in resplendent emptiness. So this is how we begin our meditation. If you identify and recognize any tension in your body, release it on the exhalation into space. If you feel turbulent energy that is just propelling one distracting thought after another, the winds and the thoughts ride in tandem. Release that turbulent energy on the exhalation into space. And with this deep relaxation and deep release, discover the silence of the natural state of speech. And then upon this deep relaxation and silence, settle the mind in its natural state. This is the essential nature of the mind that we discover in the absence of all appearances. When there are no appearances, what remains? There is a luminous knowing. That awareness is. This awareness is able to illuminate appearances, but it doesn't become them. It doesn't become fused with them or part of them. It just makes them knowable. And when there are no appearances, what this awareness knows is itself. It knows itself to be luminous in knowing. It's said that this domain of the mind, of the big mind, is like space. What does that mean? What is the referent of this space of the mind? Does it have knowable qualities? If it exists, it must be knowable. In Dzogchen and Mahamudra, the question always is, first of all, they seem so simple. You wonder, why do they keep asking these questions? They seem like elementary school. Does this space of the mind have shape and color? Is it a square, a cube, a sphere, a red sphere, a black sphere? What they are getting at here is, does this space of the mind have physical properties? So as you're resting with no appearances in this space of the mind, so no appearances to distract you, but the space of the mind becomes your interest, what do you discover about it? Does it have coordinates in physical space that you can navigate to? Does it have a center or a periphery? Or is it, as far as you can discover, boundless? Have you found the edge of the space of the mind? Is it flat, two-dimensional? Is the space of the mind like a Tonka painting, or even a movie screen? Or is it at least three-dimensional? These are all things that you can discover with your perception. Padmasambhava said that while we are resting with no appearances, we can run into these two problems of meditation, excitation and laxity. With no appearances, the mind habitually goes trying to find something. Either that, or it just begins to shut down. Space out, become drowsy. So he proposes a really clever solution. And it's called the Padmasambhava Oscillation. So first of all, arouse the luminous nature of your awareness. In the absence of appearances, what do you know? Awareness knows itself to be luminous. And that's not a visual image, but it is the quality of mind that makes things knowable. And the clarity and the vividness that we seek in our meditation practice is all an expression of this natural luminosity of the mind. So can you experience that natural luminosity just nakedly? But this luminosity can lead to excitation. And so Padmasambhava proposes that you release that luminosity into space, into the unbounded expanse of the space of your mind. And while you're at it, release all distraction that may be exciting you. And let your awareness rest in this boundless expanse of space. with no appearances. It is not a nothingness because it is awareness itself. But in the beginning, nothing going on in space can lead to a stagnation, just a feeling of lethargy, of spacing out. And so you then emphasize the knowing quality. Again, the luminosity of awareness of awareness. It's not as if you contract the space into the spot behind your eyes. But all you're doing is shifting, knowing the other side of the coin. Emphasizing the luminous knowing of awareness itself. And then just oscillate at your own pace between the luminosity and knowing that, and feeling the invigoration of that, which is an antidote to laxity. And then alternate that with the release of this luminosity and any distraction into space, into the unbounded expanse, which is the antidote to excitation. And as you are oscillating and you are invigorating the awareness of awareness, the luminosity, try to maintain the spaciousness of your mind. And as you are releasing into space, try to maintain the luminosity of your awareness. And if you are able to find this balance of maintaining the luminosity of your awareness when you release into space, in the spaciousness of your awareness when you are arousing the luminosity, then simply give up the oscillation and rest in this balance of luminosity and spaciousness. Padmasambhava calls it merging mind and space. Rest in resplendent emptiness.